We're going to be reading from Genesis chapter 13, and we're going to be continuing somewhat in the narrative that we've recently begun with respect to the life of Abraham. So Genesis chapter 13, and we'll read from verse 1. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked, and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art, northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for ever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Amen. May God bless also this reading to us. After the sad and embarrassing incident in Egypt, Abraham, Sarah, and Lot return to the south of Canaan. And they are now very wealthy people. Perhaps much of that wealth had been acquired in Egypt. We're not exactly sure how long they stayed there, how long the events of the previous chapter took, or indeed whether the gifts that they had been given were amassed to make this new wealth that Abram and Lot possessed. But wealth can be a great blessing and also a great snare, and a source of trouble. If indeed they had got these riches in Egypt, it may explain why Lot was now so rich also, and they had great flocks between them. Abram, we're told, continued to worship the Lord, no doubt thanking him for safety in Egypt despite the deception that had been perpetrated, for protection that he had enjoyed for himself and for Sarah, and for their household and their possessions. And the return to the altar and the presence of the altar in Abraham's thanksgiving and worship of God reminds us once again that Abraham understood both the nature of true spiritual worship and the object of true spiritual worship. He worshipped the one true God, and he worshipped him through the spilling of blood upon an altar. He made a sacrifice as a way of approach to God, understanding that there must be this picture of the sacrificial lamb that typified the Lord Jesus Christ, the promised one who was yet to come. Now, the great wealth of Abraham and Lot begins to be an issue. And as they travel together, we discover that the land is not able to sustain their herds. And the quantity of the fertility of the land isn't able to sustain perhaps the grass and the waters that they need. And so we find that the herdmen of both of these men, Abraham and Lot, they begin to fight, no doubt, so that the herds can have the best grazing. And we're also told at this stage in the narrative that the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And so while we see Abraham and Lot here in the land, we also discover that there are other peoples in the land, families, tribes, perhaps with their towns and their villages, their cities. And the significance of being told that at this stage is perhaps to show to us, the readers of this story, that these people, the Canaanites and the Perizzites, were witness to this conflict that was taking place between this family, Abraham and Lot. And also perhaps that there was a risk, because if the two were fighting together, then the Canaanites and the Perizzites may imagine that they could take advantage of them during that time. The world is always interested to see and to observe and to witness conflict in the church and between brethren. And that is always a reason why we should follow Abraham's wise counsel here and make sure that we manage our affairs so that we don't have a conflict one with another. Abraham was indeed wise in this matter, and despite possessing the seniority and the honour that that would bring, he gives Lot the pick of the land. He says, Lot, look in whatever direction you want, and you go where you want with your herds, with your family, with your wealth, and I will go in the opposite direction for our common good. And I can just briefly show you the map again, and you'll see here that we're all in this little box here, this little white box in the cluster of names just towards the left-hand side there of the map. And Abraham has come back up out of Egypt into the south of the country towards Bethel there. And in that area, we see that that is where there's both mountainous area, which is slightly sandy in its colour, and there's the green areas of the fertile plains. And Lot, it seems, decided that he would have the benefit of the fertile plains. So let me just leave off that map now. So there we see Lot taking preference over Abraham. And perhaps the younger man should have thought that he would return the favour and defer to Abraham. But his eyes were attracted to the fertile plain and the potential for wealth that that would bring. He saw the plain of Jordan and he saw the cities of the plain, and he desired to be part of that. He would descend out of the mountain country into the good land while Abraham stayed in the hills. And so verses 12 and 13 tells us that Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But then there is a little rider to this statement. We're told, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And soon we will discover this causes Lot a considerable amount of trouble. Now separated, Abraham and Lot are not divided. They separate in good terms, as we will also see in the passages ahead. They're still in good terms, the two men, but now they've separated. And God appears again to Abraham, and he restates something of the promise of the inheritance of the land that Abraham now dwelt in, the land of Canaan, for his seed. And verse 15 says, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Now this was a promise of land, but it was also a promise of children and descendants, because there would be a possession of Abraham's seed. And yet Abraham had no children as yet. And he was getting older, and Sarah was getting older. And so we see that here in these spiritual promises, God is again bringing Abraham to that point where he has to have faith. He has to trust. He has to believe God. Although he cannot see the evidence of it immediately, he can see the land, but he doesn't own it or have full possession of it. The Canaanites, the Perizzites, the cities of the plain, the kings of those cities were all still there. How was it that this was to be Abraham's and his seed's? And his faith was tested here. Abraham was invited to survey the land, to walk through it. But for many years there would be no possession, and for many years there would be no children. And so here we see Abraham's faith being tested. And we see the evidence of Abraham's faith, because he believed God. And that is why Abraham is called the father of the faithful, or the father of faith. And we will see as we progress how Abraham trusted the Lord. He believed in the promises. And as such, he is a fine example of for us. For while we may not be able to see the fulfillment of all the things that God has promised, yet we are called to believe them. God is faithful, God is true. And may we be like faithful Abraham and trust in his promises, even although we may not yet be in full possession of them. Amen. May the Lord bless to us these thoughts.